the meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Here.
Crunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present?
Okay, our first item of business is the consent agenda, and the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will automatically be respected. And we have five items on the consent agenda. Okay, everybody's okay with it? I'll call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
In a second.
Roll call.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Our next item of business is hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items. Please hold your comments to 5 minutes or less, and please state where your name and your address. Do we have anyone in the audience who wishes to address the commission on a non-agenda item? Okay, we'll move forward. We have correspondence today from Leslie Nielsen regarding fluoridated water usage and baby formula preparation. And we also have correspondence from Patrick McGow of Miller Canfield discussing the scope of services as bond counsel related to city facility improvement project. And next item is city manager's report.
A few items for the city commission at this point. Just let the commission know, we've been monitoring the frost situation. We had a report of it being down about 5 foot outside the city. We checked it late last week and had depths of frost between 2.5 and 4.5 feet. So we've advised our 31 dripless customers to begin running water. This is only for our dripless customers. We've had no indications of service or water main freezes at this point, so it's not a general citywide grip list at this point. If anybody has any questions, they should contact Shelley with our water department. Last week it was publicly announced that we were selected as one of the 7 communities across the state to receive a place plan services grant through the Michigan Municipal League and the Michigan State Housing Development Authority. This will help Boyne City develop plans to improve and provide better connections with the public waterfront areas from Peninsula Beach Park, Sunset Park, and also the portion of Veterans Park that's just south of the Veterans Memorial. And we'll be kicking off that process next week. And again, if anybody's interested in helping participate with that, there'll be plenty of opportunities and they can contact me with regards to that. As I'm sure most everybody has heard, Lori Meter has been selected by the Main Street Board as our new Main Street Executive Director. She will officially begin her duties on March 1st and will be coming to an upcoming City Commission meeting for her formal introduction. She is already starting to kind of do some prep work behind the scenes on that. You may notice or see out there in the not too distant future that we're currently advertising for a general office clerk to fill a vacancy that will be created when Karen Seeley retires at the end of May. And yesterday we were informed that the Boyne City Marina received a $5,000 risk reduction grant from our liability insurance provider. You'll remember that Barb came before the commission on this to talk about getting an electrical ground fault monitoring device. So as he just mentioned, that total cost for that project is estimated to be about $6,500, so this will pay the vast majority of that project. So if the commission has questions on these or other items, please let me know. We have a presentation for the mayor to do, then I have one other item after that.
Okay. Cindy and Becky, would you like to come forward? Cindy and Becky are Nikki, I'm sorry. Called my neighbor by the wrong name. Anyways, they're co-presidents, correct?
Yes, yes.
Well, anyways, there is a check from the city here for $3,000 for the garden club.
Thank you very much, on behalf of the garden club and all their members, thank you very much. This will be very helpful for the future gardening this year and so forth. And we look forward to having beautiful gardens for you this year again.
Yes, we graciously accepted in everyone's name at the garden club. And I'm sure that you appreciate all our flowers that we do for you. And we get lots of comments from visitors, so we all enjoy doing it very much. Thank you again for this lovely donation.
Thank you, girls.
Thank you.
Sorry to go all high-tech on you there, but.
Well, that's okay. We do things spontaneously around here.
Speaking of spontaneous, and Boyne City is known for delivering a lot of good news. And sometimes that news isn't just restricted to Boyne City itself. But we have some very good news for the city of Charlevoix to present today. Just before the meeting, Scott McPherson, our planning director, and I were notified by Annie Doyle that she has accepted a new position with the city of Charlevoix. She'll be leaving us around February 20th to become the economic development director for the city of Charlevoix. Annie has been doing a great job for us here with a lot of enthusiasm and energy. We always take a risk when you hire good people that somebody else is going to try and recruit them away from you as well. And we've had an opportunity to talk to Annie about this, and it looks like it's going to be a great opportunity for her. So I don't know if Annie has any comments, but we just want to publicly announce that and wish her well.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you. Boyne City is a wonderful community and thriving, and I just feel very blessed to be able to be a part of your team, to see great leadership in action, great staff in action. And I hope that we're able to work together in the future. And thank you again for letting me be a part of your team.
Thank you, Annie.
I'd just like to thank Annie for all her efforts. She's brought a great energy and enthusiasm and ability to tackle projects, and she's going to be tough to replace. So thank you, Annie.
Yeah.
Derek.
Hey, I'd like to congratulate Annie, and obviously she's an individual that looks to a challenge, because that's what it's going to be to bring Charlevoix to Boyne City standards, so. And you can quote that.
Well said.
Good luck.
With the cross migration of jobs and traffic and resources and collaboration, it's what's good for Charlevoix is good for Boyne and vice versa. So we look forward to working with you in the future also.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Anything else, Mike?
I think that's plenty.
Okay. Next item of business is reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. And we have draft minutes for the Parks and Rec, Main Street, Airport, and the Planning Commission. Do we have any comments or questions? Okay, we'll move on to unfinished business. The first item is a city facilities bond proposal. And Mike will let you get started on that first.
At our last city commission meeting on the 27th of January, city commission provided direction to the staff to work with our consultants, our bond counsel, and legal financial advisor as well, to prepare possible language for a possible bond proposal that can be voted on by our citizens at the upcoming May 5th election. In order to have this placed on the May 5th ballot, it needs to be submitted to the county clerk's office by 4 p.m. Today, the day of our city commission meeting. Included in the agenda packet, which is provided to the commission and has been available online, You'll find the draft ballot language, and I'll put it up here on the screen in a second, and a resolution that would be necessary to begin this process. And that was prepared by our bond attorney, Pat McGow of Miller Canfield. You also find in the agenda packet two revised tables from our financial consultant, Paul Stutter of Stutter Barch & Associate. I also included on pages 6 and 7 materials that speak to the possible timing of the City Hall complex and a bond sale if this matter is approved by the voters. We coordinated again with Paul and Pat and also our consultant Ray Kender on this matter as well. And then I also tried to put together and give you some information that might be helpful to try and figure out if and when you want to put a matter to the voters. As we talked about at our last City Commission meeting, we have two opportunities this year that will not cost the community anything additional to put a matter before the voters. That's on the May 5th ballot and the November election as well. With the road millage proposal, or the road funding proposal, I should say, from the state being put on the May ballot, that election is going to be held anyway, so there's no additional cost to have it at that time. That can kind of be a double-edged sword, potentially. Looking at some of the initial polling data and hearing some of the talking heads talk about what's going on with the road funding package from the governor and the legislature developed at the end of last year. There's mixed reviews on it. There's a number of people that have expressed concern with regards to that ballot measure, and there really isn't, at least not much of an organized pro message that's out there yet. It may be developing at some point in the future. I contacted the Michigan Municipal League to see if they had any insights on that, but I haven't heard anything back from them at this point. As I mentioned earlier, when we met last on it, I mean, there's never really a good time to ask the public for additional money. The road funding ballot measure could cut either way. I also provided information in the agenda packet and some additional information that we received with regards to different election times. There's four generally through the year, and the May election seemed to have more favorable outcomes with regards to that. At your places today, with information that I found yesterday on Networks Northwest website, the old Northwest Michigan Council of Government with their new name, they had information on the November 2014 vote with regards to statewide ballot requests, of which there were 414, 82% of those passed. For items that were over $7 million, which our request would be if the commission approves it as recommended, 83% of those passed. There were 10 millage requests that affected properties in Charlevoix County in November, and 100% of those passed. Then on a sticky note towards the middle of that, or towards the bottom of that sheet, we received some additional sources of information with regards to school bonds, and this is off the State of Michigan's Treasury's website, looking at the four elections that were held in 2014, one in February, one in May, one in August, and one in November. And then you have basically the total number of issues that were considered at that time. Like in February, it was 7 items. Of those, 5 passed, so a 71% passing ratio, and 2% or 2 of them failed. And I broke that down for each of the 4 elections last year. The one that was the most successful time was the May time, when 26 of the 31 items passed for 84%. Now again, you know, what does that tell you? I think a lot of it, you know, they always say all politics is local. And ultimately, the voters of Boyne City, if the commission chooses to put this on the ballot, will have to decide whether what we're asking for makes sense for them and whether the information is enough to convince them to vote with us. We can provide the information, answer any questions people have, but they ultimately have to make that determination. So I try to provide what information I can to help you sort through the potential election dates. You have the information previously provided by our design team headed by Ray Kendra. We do have, and it's the reason I have the phone here today, if the commission would like at some point, I can get either Ray or Pat or Paul on the phone if you have any specific questions for them. But in the meantime, I'd be glad to try and address any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mike.
Welcome.
Do we have any additional comments from our department heads or staff? Do we have any citizens' comments?
Yeah. I'm Don Smith. Morning, gentlemen. I wanted to be here 2 weeks ago to speak on the bond issue. So I read the Dasky News, and they changed the meeting to 7 a.m. that morning. I missed it. I was all set for Tuesday night, but yeah, you wanted more attendance, and I missed it. I read about noon on Tuesday.
Our meeting was held at 7 p.m. on the last meeting, correct?
No, it's 7 a.m.
No, we've never held a 7 a.m. meeting.
It says 7 a.m.
Well, the meeting is not always correct. I'm sorry. We had a 7 p.m.
meeting. I know I was told you I should have phoned, but you know, by the time I read it, it was about 12 o'clock. So I just like to take a few minutes. I'll keep on these 5 minutes, please. Also, Petoskey News had quoted the new building is going to be more efficient, better in energy. So in other words, we're going to save money on staff, money on building. I'd like to know how much money we're going to save per year on labor. If it's going to be more efficient, we must be going to reduce labor. You know, a couple employees, $800,000 a year, that'll help. Emergency service, how much are we going to save per year out there? With a bond issue of 0.9 mils or 2.7 mils, how much of that, I'm wondering, is that subject to the DDA and the industrial park, where they capture any increases in the taxes from 1993 on a bond issue like this? If it does, this will just generate more cash for the DDA again. And right now, I believe in the DDA, they're probably collecting more tax dollars than we are. What percentage of the increase is going to be carried by landlords, businesses, and vacation homes? The more the taxes go up, we want affordable housing here. We'll price ourselves affordable housing. I know the millages went down, increased the value of the houses went up in the last 20 years. When the Katz building goes out the darn field, it's supposed to have been 5 to 6 years, now it's going to be 10 years. How would the city benefit from that? Is that going to be another plus thing for the DDA, or are we going to, in ourselves, capture them thousands of dollars a year to help on our bond issue? Will the dollars go to the city or the DDA? What would the percentages be? The staff, I'm sure Grace probably could put the figures real quick on the computer to show exactly how many dollars are going to come to the city and how many is going to the DDA. The DDA, I looked at the budget here several years ago. I believe they could kick in $200,000 a year on the new building that's going to benefit them more than us. And that way they'd add some skin in the game. You know, Petoskey assesses everybody up there per square foot, main floor, parking lot, second floor, to do the business. Down here, we pay for it in front of the stores. What would be our return investment from the Michigan State Extension? Are we going to rent them space at going rates? Should be at market rates if we do it. That's a county facility anyway, as far as I feel. I don't see many farms inside the city limits. How much of the cost of the square footage for the museum is going to be related to this? $500,000? $750,000? $1 million? Important. The museum should be the sponsor of a chamber or something. Get it out of this. Because how much do they contribute to our utilities, or we pay for our utilities, maintenance? You say the county extension, same way. Extension, museum. I believe the DDA office should be in the city hall. Move down, you pay us rent for it. They'd have a big meeting room under the new facilities. We probably do a lot of the check writing, I assume, for them. And we should be fully reimbursed for all expenses. They're going to have access to city manager, which they work very well with. Like I say, along with the savings on heating, cooling, repairs, staff reduction, saving on rent for the first responder. Right now, we're saving $184,000 a year for the number of years. So we took that $184,000, we put $200,000 in DDA, along with all the other savings. If we need a village, I think it'd be an absolute minimum village. You know, if you look on figure, say, what do you do with that $164,000? Just throw it into general fund instead of bonds. Ambulance, first, are you just going to throw that in the fund? You know, savings for that. Like I say, I apologize for not being 2 weeks ago. I read, not a local newspaper, I read one from out of the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Steve.
Just to clarify for Mr. Smith, that was a typographical error on my part. I wrote the story and it didn't get caught, so it wasn't anything on his, but the commission's part, it was my mistake.
Okay, they didn't plan this for one of the tenants.
That would have the opposite effect.
I'm just pulling your leg.
I just want to make it clear for the record, that was my screw up. I just looked it up.
Do we have any additional citizens' comments in regards to the bond proposal? Mr. Allen.
Mr. Mayor, Commission, Mr. Smith, and everybody else. Ken Allen on the 501 Spring Street. I didn't come here to speak, but I wanted to talk about a couple of issues. It seems that the question before you right now is, should we do a bond proposal? Is that the question before you now? I guess I need some clarification there, or is it the whole concept? I mean, some of the items that Mr. Smith brought up, I assume, were previously addressed in planning commission meetings and a whole host of other meetings. So we're way down the path from those discussions, I think, right now. So when you're saying bond proposal, if that's the issue, the question is, do you try to get it done today or some agreement today that it could be on the ballot for May? Is that correct?
Yes.
The question
yes.
Could be on May.
Three yeses.
I think also, and you might want to clarify with Sherry Groh or at the clerk's office, there's a deadline for approving the ballot initiative, and then there's a deadline to actually print it. In other words, the time frame for actually having the election, you wouldn't necessarily, you can back out. I guess what I'm saying is, it doesn't seem to be enough time necessarily to discuss this thing, air this thing fully in one day or in time to get on May. And secondly, with the question of bond proposals, and I talked to Miller Canfield before, and Jim, you were involved with this, you remember, on the road millage, when we wanted to seek a bond millage, a bond for the roads. And we're going to use the road millage to pay the bond. And it was determined then it was just absolutely no way that was going to fly countywide. There was just way too much opposition at the grassroots level against the bond. The notion of spending money, interest to somebody to get to use money is just so antithetical to some voters that they're not gonna vote for a bond. It doesn't matter what the attribute, what the benefits of the project are. It's just an issue. And those smaller groups of voters are tend to be present in May and August. Larger groups of voters, the voter turnout is always larger in November. Always larger. The problem is if the primary burden is on property owners, well, that those are present and future property owners. And but it's like a house. If you don't maintain a house, eventually it's going to fall down. You got to replace the whole thing. So we got to invest some money in our city house. And I think we should go forward with the bond proposal. It's the only way to get the thing done in a reasonable time frame. We got to have a pile of money to work with. It's a fair thing. Everybody benefits. But the question is on the May, if you do go forward with trying to put it on a May ballot, I think there still should be some more discussion before that final decision is made to actually go through with that election. Do you understand what I'm saying with that? That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any additional citizens' comments? Okay, we'll move to the board for discussion. Or Mike, would you like to say anything before we go to board?
Not at this point, no.
Tom, would you like to start?
Well, I think everybody knows where I stand, and I think that we should need to go forward for the May election. And in regards to the public comments, I think we have done our due diligence and we have vetted those issues, and we have most of the answers to your questions done. We have them. I don't know if now's the time to present them. It's probably not the time to present a one-on-one discussion, but I feel totally confident that the process has started way back when we hired the architectural firm to have the community forums and have the public input and talk to the staff and talk to the emergency services and the ambulance and police department and fire department. And the way we've gotten to this date, the May date or the November date, the way we got to the price, I feel has been very open and very transparent. And I feel totally comfortable in my decision to recommend that we go forward into the May vote. Everybody, almost 100%, agree that the need is there. We agree that it's the best time to borrow money. We agree that, even some issues about 4-H or the museum, we've talked about those issues. We've talked about design. We've talked about saving money on bringing the ambulance services back. We've talked about not putting money into this complex because it's money down the drain. With all that being said, I think it has been a very, very, very open discussion and with very logical conclusions. And so with respect to my fellow commissioners, I'd like to hear what you say, but I'm ready to move forward with a recommendation to go to a May vote of the people.
Gene?
Yeah, I agree with Tom. We have discussed it. The use of our EMS rent, the $19,200, like it says on our fact sheet, could be used to help pay down this project. I agree with Tom, we should go to the vote of the citizens on the May 5th ballot.
Derek?
Thank you, Mayor. where to start? Mr. Smith had some points. One of the points that he brought up is one that I had mentioned to Commissioner Needham early on when we got our first tour around the first elected, and it was regarding, does this facility fall within the DDA? And the answer to that is yes. And I, at that time, I said, well, then if this moves forward with in any way, shape, or form, then the DDA definitely should be putting money into this project to help pay down the debt or build it in phases as I presented throughout this process. So that's something that definitely needs to be part of the discussion and a clarification before, potentially before we move forward. Also, I had mentioned at the last meeting about combining my concept, which was pay as we go, save as we go. And if this ends up being presented to the citizens and they do adopt the millage, then I think we need to set aside or create a line item. I'm not sure how that process works as far as audit procedures, but where we set aside and we fund a line item with X amount of dollars to pay out of the general fund to pay down that debt, whatever that process can be done. And again, I'm not sure if money is allocated, if there was a financial crisis with other emergencies in town, that money, could that be moved? I don't know the answer to that, but so it's not like it's captured and we've got flooding streets and we have no money. So I would never ever recommend or vote to put us in that situation. Mm-hmm. But I also fully feel that there is no reason why we can't combine those two concepts if this goes forward and if approved by the voters. Because now I'm looking at the numbers, they went from 3.5 to 3.5 million up to 3.6 million. It's 3.606692 is the latest numbers that were presented in this packet. Let's see here, what were some of the other? And it didn't get a lot of mention at the last meeting. We talked about homeowners and how it's going to affect them financially. It's been brought to my attention about some of the, you know, business owners, and are we going to create a climate where it's inviting to come to Boyne City and stay in Boyne City for to do business? For example, Precision Edge, you know, large company made a large investment here, and obviously they've been hit with that medical device tax. And if this passes, that's another percentage on their costs as well. So it's other than just the homeowners, and I think that needs to be discussed and brought out in the open. And Mr. Allen had mentioned that. It doesn't affect just people here and out. It'll affect everybody that moves in, theoretically, in the next 20 years. let's see here, the other points. So I was reading the packet, there was an email, and perhaps Mike could clarify, or we may need to get the gentleman on the phone. I think his name is Patrick. Patrick McGow, yes. And then on January 28th at 4:02 p.m., he was responding to an email from Paul Stouter. And in that email, he goes on, and if I could get some clarification, Mike, as to delay the bond, he's recommended delay the bond issuance until 2016. Now, is that based on if it's on the May ballot and approved in the May ballot, don't issue until then, or deal with this ballot measure in the spring of 2016?
No, he's dealing with the actual sale of the bonds themselves. Okay. He saw with the proposed schedule for construction from Ray,
right,
no advantage to the city of selling the bonds initially and then carrying the debt.
Start
on
paying
it.
The debt until.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. He said he thinks we should coordinate the timing of the sale of the bonds as close to the time when we need the money as possible.
Okay, given that information, then what is the urgency for putting it on the May ballot then?
There is no urgency to do that.
Right.
It gives the commission, that's the first available opportunity to do so.
Okay.
If for some reason it goes down in May, it gives you an opportunity to regroup and reconsider something in November. If the commission so chose, it may or may not want to do so. Mm-hmm. And that still would keep us, give us another option to have something available on the 2016 construction schedule. Mm-hmm. If we just do something in November and right, that has issues,
sure,
that doesn't give us, we'd be into 2016 before we'd have another opportunity to go to the voters if that was the direction the commission right, wanted. Mm-hmm. That's not saying that if it goes down in May, the commission wouldn't necessarily want to do that, but you have that option then. You have more options if we start sooner. But you also, I mean, there's also the possibility that again, with this whole...
Sure.
We don't, you don't know what the, at least I don't know what the best exact date for us to go forward is.
Well, and that'll segue into my next point is these other financial matters that, and again, something like this, the state sales tax measure, school funding ballots, those, yes, those can pop up at any time that, you know, at the state level, we have no direct control over. But it's like anything, you know, what did you know and when did you know and what'd you do about it? Okay. So right now we know that the state measure is going to be on the ballot. What we don't know is the result. Is that going to be more of an increase? You know, cost to our citizen taxpayers through an additional sales tax. And then school board, whatever they decide to do, you know, if that is presented and passed at whatever the number is, then that's additional revenue out of our pockets and cost to business owners and so forth. So I think this is something we need to think very carefully about. Because there is far-reaching effects, and it's like everything. It's easy to talk about the fun stuff. The fun stuff is getting the money and building or doing what we want, buying what we want. That's the fun part. As the old saying, buying is the pain, owning is the pleasure. Okay. Well, 20 years of buying at 3.6 million. You know, obviously, if it passed, and my recommendation would be absolutely. Attack that debt as quick as possible through additional funding sources. Mm-hmm. Make sure the language is in place, mm-hmm. so everybody knows and can plan their budgets around it. Let's see. So that's something we need to really think about. You know, as far as the getting it out in the spring, especially what I'm seeing here, and the only thing that I've heard is the potential, well, if it doesn't pass in May, that gives us an opportunity in November. Well, I mean, if it passes by one or two votes, or if it's defeated by one or two votes, potentially, look at it. You know, if it's an overwhelming defeat, then clearly the folks have spoken, and I don't see that being brought back up in November on a ballot proposal. Anything could change. So, I'm not as concerned about hurrying up and getting it on the May ballot, especially what I'm reading here. We do have, Mr. Allen did bring up a good point. We've got some of these other issues, and it's like anything, I'll speak to Commissioner Niedhammer's point. It's been a long process from the dream state to getting to this point, but like anything, when you get closer to the finish line, the details matter, details are important, because that's when things and people become affected with when the ink's on the paper, so to speak. So I think there are some issues here. There's some commentary that I've heard back from the business community, some concerns about the numbers. You know, I don't know, between our last meeting and now, with the new information that I've received, if today or if this May ballot is the appropriate time to do it. I think it's something, there's things that need to be put in place, I think, before we go to the people, beyond what we've already discussed or answers that we don't already have. Again, I've stated before about I'm in full support of the project, but I don't know if there's enough with information I'm getting now and the feedback, if it's something that we need to rush right into. We already have the DPW project moving forward. That's taken care of, and that's something that we can definitely focus on in this process. You know, and if it does go forward today and it does end up on the ballot, I will say that this project, whatever and however it's paid for, once it starts, becomes the sole focus. And that's not about, we can't look at other things, But other than operations and vehicles and other equipment, that type of thing, I think this definitely would need to be our sole source of funding and paying that down. If the citizen, if it makes it on the ballot and they vote to approve it, then I think it's incumbent upon us to do everything we can to save the citizens, our taxpayers, money on interest rates for this project. So if through the whole process, we knock 5 years off or 7 years, wherever the numbers lead us in that regard, I think it's something that definitely needs to happen and target our focus on that matter. So at this point, the citizens will make the right decision if it goes before them. But I think it's something, as of the new information and the new feedback I've received, I am not at this point in favor of the May ballot proposal. Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Laura?
Yeah, I think I know we've been talking about new city facilities for quite some time, long before I got on the city commission. And we finally reached a point where I think there's been a lot of information, a lot of discussion, a lot of meetings, and a lot of public input. I personally don't like paying higher taxes either. I'm on a fixed income now. I'm retired. So, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of a hit on that. But at the same time, I'm going to say I think it's a worthwhile project moving forward. And we are in desperate need of either totally renovating this current city facility, which probably wouldn't be worth putting the money into, or doing a new city facilities that makes sense and works well for everyone in the community. I think this community deserves a good EMS service, a good fire department that responds. I mean, they work well now, and they do their best. We need new police facilities. We need new office facilities. This place is basically falling apart. If you look up, you can see the water stains on the ceiling, and it's been patched and repatched and made do for a lot of years. And again, I'll say that this project, I know, is a lot of money. You know, $7 million is not a small amount. But we did set aside money to do the DPW facility. And that is paid for up front, total. And I think that was because of the due diligence of the city commission during budget sessions to sit down and say, let's set some money aside. We know this is going to be coming down the road. Let's get it as far as we can. And it didn't go as far as we hoped. It's going to cost a little bit more because we need to do 3 buildings for the DPW. But we are getting the heavy equipment off the waterfront, which is a real plus. We will be opening up some more view corridor and more park area and open space for everyone in the community to use. And I think that's really essential. So for me, I'd like to see where the voters stand on this. I'd like to, I think, between getting it on the ballot and having it actually voted on, there should be probably a lot of information and other materials that people then can read and understand a little bit more the particulars of how this project moves forward and what it entails. And I think through education and through information between now and then, I think the voters can probably make it a good quality decision. So that's where I'm at on it. So I'd be in favor of putting it on and see where it goes at this point.
Thank you, Laura. Well, it's my turn to speak to this subject and this agenda item and the bond proposal. And really, it's a culmination of long-term planning that's taken place. And we have gone to the people with the long-term planning going back to, as far as I can reckon, probably 2002, 2003. It became part of our top 10 list. And when we hired Mr. Kane as our city manager, we emphasized that this is the process that we want to follow is doing what the people asked us to do. It's not 5 people deciding what the people needed, but what the people have asked us to do is to upgrade the fire and ambulance facilities, have them on site, get the DPW off the waterfront. There's been a constant input, you know, where we've gone to the people and asked them what they wanted. And since we've had the availability of the internet to do the citywide planning sessions, we've had thousands of people participate in this, and it's still on our list of goals. It's been moved down the list a little ways in the last few years, but it's what the people have asked us to do. Addressing the millage itself, you know, asking for 2.45 mils or 2.7 mils, correction, 2.7 mils, and selling the bonds, there's a correlation there of timelines. When we talk about long-term planning and when's the best time to, you know, get started on the asking people for a positive vote to approve a millage, selling the bonds would probably take place in early 2016, which would probably coincide with the school millage that will end in about a year and a half at 2.45 mils. So there's close to a wash on that, and then another year later, the 0.93 technology mill, that rolls off. So timing-wise, it's probably the best time also because of the cost of money right now in securing a bond or selling the bond. The timelines for that are as good as they'll probably ever be. One of the things that we've looked at is, you know, the inflation. And we've had some spreadsheets presented to us that showed 15 years ago that a mill brought in like $88,000 or $89,000. Today it brings in about $189,000, that same mill. And which with no prepayment clause, you know, as far as paying your bonds off, there's a very good likelihood we'll be able to pay this down much sooner than the, you know, 20 or 21 years, the life of a bond mm-hmm. like this. Mm-hmm. So it's, at this point, and as I say, this has been a culmination of a long-term planning. I think it should go to the, you know, to the voters to confirm what they've asked us to do and put it on the May ballot. So, Mike?
If you're done, Mayor, just a couple of the comments, if I may.
Sure.
I think this has been great discussion. We've been having great discussion on the facilities for a year. Yeah. If the commission decides to go forward with the election, or even if you don't, mm-hmm. it may, I continue to anticipate we'll be having much more discussion, as we should be. Mm-hmm. People should be asking questions. We should be providing answers. And I anticipate that we'll be doing that as we go forward, whatever the tact is. I mean, the burden is on mm-hmm. us to make sure that we're as transparent as possible. Mm-hmm. I look back when I first came to town, and the largest single project that we've done during my tenure here has been the construction of our wastewater treatment plant. That was an $8 million project. It was huge. It was huge for us. It was huge for Boyne Mountain, our partnership that we have there. And it's been great for our community as well, too. And we have the opportunity to serve some of our neighboring communities potentially as well, too. But again, I look at that as an $8 million project. Mm-hmm. Here, if you take everything together with both the DPW and the city facilities here on this campus, mm-hmm. we're looking at a $10 million project. We replaced one building for $8 million and a lot of infrastructure to go with it out there at the plant. But again, we're basically taking care of everything else for 10. And I think it's something to keep into perspective. Mm-hmm. We dealt with one department for $8 million. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with police, fire, ambulance, city hall, museum, Michigan State, the whole mm-hmm. rest of the enchilada. For that, we should be set. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to keep that in perspective. Yes, $10 million is a huge number, nothing that any of us take lightly. But again, we're in the business of investing in our community's future. The wastewater treatment plant was one such investment. This is another investment to help us improve our operations. I look at the school facility, when they went through the millage for that. That took multiple times to get that millage approved by the voters. But again, once it was approved, and what we have now, would anybody ever think of going back to what we used to have? I mean, you look at the high school facility, and it is a source of pride for us. Whether you're in the classroom, the media center, looking at what Randy Calcadero does with his class programs, if you're in the performing arts center with one of our great productions that are done there, again, we have a millage there that is going to be rolling off, as the mayor mentioned, in a short period of time. You know, and it was a hard fought to get that millage in the first place. People had to be convinced, and had, you know, there were a lot of factors involved. But again, would the community look back and roll that back if they had the choice to do it again? I look at the library, you know, the investment that the community has made into that with regard to the millage that's on the taxes, and also with the grants and things they were able to help improve that facility as well, too. The facilities that we have as a community, the city facilities, say a lot about us. I'm proud of this facility because it says we're frugal, and we've been very frugal with the taxpayers' dollar. That's why we have the approximate $2.5 million or whatever that's going to be to pay for the DPW with cash. Deborah Chavez, when she was here last week, said, you know, if you're out buying a home, you usually make a down payment. And she said to me, the DPW is our down payment. We're paying more than 25% down with that $2.6 million, not on a single project, but as an integral piece of an overall project. So I just thought that was, you know, kind of made me think, oh, hey, that's a good thing. So
27%.
Yep. Okay. You got it.
She was rounding and I was ballparking.
I did that math.
Thank you.
Yesterday.
Obviously, there'll be fine-tuning. If we look at the language that's here on the proposal, the language that was drafted by our consultants, I mean, they're talking about an amount not to exceed of $7 million, an estimated term, and an estimated millage rate. I mean, if there's value to be gained during this process, we don't have to spend $7 million if we don't need to. And there'll be plenty of more discussion, but there are steps that need to be taken. And the commission has said that the facilities are a high priority, and we're trying to, as a staff, to meet the commission's desires to address those. So, again, I don't have a crystal ball. You know, I see some storm clouds on the horizon for the May election with what's going on with the state. But we'll never know until we try. It's kind of like the grants. You never know unless you apply. And you have to be prepared to take a no every now and then. I anticipate that this is going to be a lot of hard work for all people involved to get the information out there. And, you know, as has been mentioned, you know, we have a great community, a lot of informed citizens, and they'll make a good decision and help us along the way. So, so for whatever it's worth, whatever the commission's decision, you can expect the full support of staff to implement it to the best of our abilities.
So, are you ready for a motion? Call for a motion.
I just may add one more comment to Mike in reference to our DDA money. Just one more thing that we've done with our DDA money is we have all new streets and infrastructure downtown. Another good investment. And you combine that DDA money with grants and we're spending 30 cents to 20 cents on a dollar. So again, another example of where Boyne City has wisely invested in its facilities, from the school, from the library. And now, this is the next logical step to invest our money. And May is a logical choice in my mind.
Okay. Here.
One final comment. I apologize. With regards to the information the city manager provided on the breakdown of when votes occurred and what passed and what didn't, what failed, I think you have to be very careful about looking at those and trying to pick what's the best time for us to get this through. In my opinion, this data is, it is what it is. It's a reflection. But does it really have a direct bearing? At least from my perspective, it doesn't, because as I stated at the last meeting, it's all about the facts, and the people will decide if and when they're presented with that opportunity, whatever that is. I think if we look at these numbers and say, well, yep, this confirms we need to get it in May because that gives us our highest percentage of getting it passed, which according to this was 84% on various elections. Well, I think you have to be very careful, and that could be viewed as trying to circumnavigate the voters to achieve a desired outcome versus this vote should be a, you know, whenever it does come up or if it comes up. So I just want to reflect that the percentage from my perspective of when the numbers are what they are, you know.
I was just going to say, I have to say this. I don't believe these numbers were presented to us before we were aiming for a May vote. I mean, this was the last minute after the, sure. I mean, last meeting we almost decided to go ahead with the May.
Right.
And then we decided to wait one more meeting to have a little more input. Sure. So this, I don't think this has anything to do with the outcome. I mean, it can pass or it can fail. I mean, it's sure. Hopefully it'll pass, but if it doesn't, then, you know, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
I just want to get it stated that
yeah. That's just my
feeling. The data is there, and I want to make sure that it's not contrived.
If it's a quality project and it makes sense to the voters, then I think through information and education and
more information,
and also we have budget coming up, you know, starting in March, so... I'm always for setting money aside, and if we can pay down something sooner, I've always done that in my personal life, so that's where I'm at. So, okay.
To compound with what you're saying, Laura, I agree totally. I'm not making my decision based on a higher percentage that was presented to us today, that a May has a higher percentage. I'm basing my decision on, we've been through this for 16 years. 12 years, 10 years, as you said.
Right. 2002. I mean, it's been our citywide planning sessions that take place every year or every other year, biannuals. We've had tremendous response, and it's we're doing what the people have asked us to do. So that's the bottom line. And the timing's right, so I'll call for a motion.
Is this the one?
Yeah,
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to approve a resolution provided to place on the May 5th ballot the Boynton City Facility Improvement Proposal and authorize the city clerk and treasurer to submit it to the county clerk prior to the 4 p.m. deadline, and authorize city staff to take appropriate steps to inform the public of the election and the issues.
A second. Roll call.
Grunge.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Stanton.
Aye.
Town.
Aye.
Gaylord.
No.
Motion carried.
Okay, new business. Water, wastewater superintendent confirmation. And Mike, you have the honors to introduce.
The city of Boynton City has always had excellent staff, and it's my pleasure to introduce to the city commission and to the community my recommendation for a new addition to that staff, Mark Fowler, to become our new water wastewater superintendent. Mr. Fowler was selected out of a pool of 9 applicants for the position. I also checked in the possibility of contracting that work out. And based on his qualifications and various other factors, I think hiring him is definitely the correct directions to go for the city as we go forward. We've conducted background checks on Mr. Fowler, including reference and non-reference discussions with people he's worked with. All came through very positively. I have included for the commission a copy of his resume, his extensive water, wastewater experience, as well as his teaching experiences, should serve him well as our new wastewater superintendent. Mark has all the required state of Michigan licenses required for operating our systems. And that is something that's unique for people to have all the required licenses on both the water and the wastewater side. Mr. Fowler has already spent some time on a number of occasions with our water wastewater personnel, toured our facilities. He's also available on an as-needed basis prior to his anticipated March 2nd start date to assist our crews and complete the required state paperwork that's necessary. He's already begun looking for a new home in the Boyne City area, where he would move from his current residence in near Interlaken. He'll receive a salary, as proposed, of $61,500 per year, and an initial 3 weeks of paid vacation, in addition to the other standard city benefits. He will serve as an at-will employee. I believe Mr. Fowler will make a fine addition to the city team as our water wastewater superintendent for the city of Boyne City, and he'll help us build on the strong foundations our department and our systems already have. Mr. Fowler is here. I think he's had an opportunity to meet with all, or not, at least most of the city commissioners prior to the meeting, and I'd be glad to introduce him for consideration of the city's confirmation. Mark?
Well, I'm excited to, looking forward to coming up here and working in the Boyne City area. I've been up here a few times in the area, and I'm just met the guys. It seems like a great group of guys to work with, and I'm looking forward to getting up here. When I told my family they would be moving up here, they had already started packing. Most of the house is already packed up, so I said, we got to find a place soon, or we're not going to have anything at home. So.
I think one of the factors that I considered was how well you could hear him when he spoke, so I thought,
no pun intended.
That's good.
We're always trying to improve.
Do we have any comments from staff members or department heads or city personnel? Okay, citizens' comments. We'll move to the board for discussion. Laura, do you have any questions for Mark?
I think I thoroughly questioned him when I came in. We had a nice chat. So, no, I don't. I'm good. Thank you.
Derek?
Thank you, Mayor. Mark, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
What were the main factors for you deciding to apply for the position in Boyne City?
Just a little more stability in my career. With Waitrim, I worked for Waitrim Operations, and I managed and operated about 15 different wastewater plants and water plants. I had six guys working for me. Our area basically went from M55 north to Sheboygan. So I was doing a lot of traveling and different sites around the state. So.
Give me your overview of our current water, wastewater system infrastructure.
Yeah, I got a tour. Everything looks good. Your plant is real nice plant. It's in good condition. Everything looks good out there. The guys seem to be doing a great job from what I've seen. The buildings and appearances are clean and orderly in the well houses and the lift stations and stuff. So, yeah, doing a great job. Mm-hmm.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Gene?
Well, I believe Mr. Fowler is definitely qualified for the water and wastewater superintendent's job. He has the qualifications, the certifications, the experience, mm-hmm. both doing the job and supervising employees. I support the recommendation.
Tom?
I support the recommendation. Welcome. Thank you.
I'd also like to welcome you, Mark, officially. And I do have a question, and one of the things that we've had an issue over the years is licensing for our staff members that
yes.
worked under our previous and still current department head.
No, he's actually previous at this point.
Mm-hmm. He is previous
yes.
at this point.
He's enjoying the full golf course treatment down in Florida. Mm-hmm.
In Florida. But anyways, I guess that my question would be is being able to start an in-house educational plan so that the people we do have on staff feel confident about writing for a higher license than they currently hold.
Yep. I'm a big supporter in the training and getting guys their licenses. I believe in I've worked with all my guys to get them their experience so they could write the different licenses, because some worked in water and some wastewater, so I tried to cross-train them, and so I'm a big supporter of getting guys educated and licensed.
Thank you. Well, anyways, we need a motion to confirm his appointment. And ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion to confirm the appointment of Mark Fowler as the water wastewater superintendent for the city of Boyne City.
Second.
Second. Yeah. Roll call.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Our next item of business is the Veterans Park Pavilion. And Barb?
Thank you, Mayor. After all the talk about city facilities and the price tags and this, I would normally be a little bit nervous about presenting a project with a $700,000 price tag on it, but actually I'm pretty excited. We're working off from Concept 2, which came to us last year after a lot of public input from citizens, organizations, staff, things like that, user groups of the pavilion. Ray Kendra had provided several different concepts. It seems like it was narrowed down pretty much to Concept 2 with a little tweaking using some of the input that was gathered. You have, with my memo, a pavilion budget. That's probably one of the more important things, at least to you, and looking at how we can afford to do a project like this. We have the opportunity to apply for a grant that would provide between 50 and 75% funding for this project. Mm-hmm. So there is the potential that we could get this pavilion that is estimated at costing around $700,000 for $175,000. And then with that said, we knew, because the commission's focus right now has been on the facilities, we knew that there was a good chance that there wouldn't be $175,000 mm-hmm. to necessarily put towards the pavilion project. Between staff, citizen groups, interested parties, we started doing some brainstorming, coming up with other funding opportunities, and that's where this budget has come from. These funds are not secured. They're all, you know, things that we've brainstormed, avenues that we've researched where we think we have a good opportunity to obtain some type of funding. It still comes up just a little bit short of the project, but we have not explored all of the funding opportunities at this point. We're just kind of at the ground level. I think another important thing that probably should be discussed would be the timeline. I contacted Ray Kendra and asked, if we got the project started, how long construction would take, and he said approximately 4 to 6 months. So in my mind, it has to be a fall project so we don't lose the pavilion in the park for a full summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts us at either starting this fall, if we want to see this through, or fall of 2016. Mm-hmm. My big concern with waiting until 2016 is our largest pot of money, which is potentially this grant from the MVC,
mm-hmm.
may not be there in 2016. We know it exists mm-hmm. now.
Mm-hmm.
We had conversations with the MVC. We know that this project hits on, you know, all of the criteria mm-hmm. that they have in the grant application.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that we have a really good opportunity to obtain funds from them if we start working towards moving forward now.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I guess I will leave it mm-hmm. to the board. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Okay. Thank you, Barb. Any further comments from department heads? Citizens' comments.
I'm here representing the Charlevoix County Community Foundation, and we've set up a special projects fund for the pavilion. going to be doing fundraising this spring and summer to raise money specifically for the pavilion. And the funds that we raise could certainly be used as a match with some of the grants that we've applied for. Don't know exactly how much we're going to raise, but there are some inter-fund agreements that we can take advantage of. You know, we have some donor advised funds that would already be interested in doing this, and then we're going to have, you know, fundraising over the spring and summer to come up with funding through the foundation, specifically as a special project for the pavilion. So I just wanted you to know that that would be going on.
Michelle, could you introduce yourself for the public record?
Michelle Courtwright, representing the Charlevoix County Community Foundation. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Do we have any additional citizen comments? Ken Harris.
Mr. Mayor, I've been part of the farmer's market community a little bit and part of the discussions, but I want to say that 10 years ago, was it? I can't remember. It was a while ago, Mike, when in a winter meeting, maybe it was a March meeting, might have been April, the commission decided to remove the band shell from the waterfront because it was ugly, obsolete, or something, perceived by itself. But I came in a couple days later and said, so what are you going to replace the band shell with? So this really is a huge improvement, something a lot better than the band shell. What it can provide for music and things like that is a great venue. I mean, it's a great project. I think the city needs to support it all the way, even in the context of the larger facility thing. It's just too important. So, too many visitors here, hundreds of thousands. So.
Any further citizen comments? Okay, we'll move to commission for discussion. Gene, would you like to start?
Sure. Well, I've been in favor of this project from day one simply because I like to see the pavilion used year-round. And I think that would be great for the city. And most definitely I like to see it done with grants and when it financially feasible. So with that said, I support the recommendation. Mm-hmm.
Derek?
Thank you, Mayor. To be consistent on this, I will follow along with the theme that at this point I can't support any city funds directly towards this project. I've stated that as we've seen some references to some fundraising and things like that, and there's philanthropic donations to the project, then absolutely, I'm not going to stand in the way of that. But at this point, as far as allocating funds from the city side, I can't support that right now. You know, drawings look nice, and if it's ever built, yeah, it'd be nice. But as far as a priority and our city dollars directly, at this point, I can't support applying towards that. Thank you.
Okay. Laura?
Well, I do have to say that I'm quite surprised to see how many parcels and pieces that you've come up with to put together. And it looks like that would be closing that dollar amount quite a bit. It would be a facility, I feel, that would be well used by a lot of different individuals, a lot of families, a lot of organizations. And I think it's probably time to upgrade. I mean, we're talking about new city facilities, but that also has been there for a long, long time. And it does need to be a year-round kind of operation. If there's any way to go forward and get all of these pieces together and kind of close that gap where it's close enough that we can make it happen, I think we should. So how soon, Barb, just a question to you directly, if I may, would we know from the MEDC?
We cannot apply directly to the MEDC until we've secured the match funds.
Okay.
So, you know, he's asked us to keep him apprised.
Right.
So
okay.
So basically, you know, that's what we're part of the reason we're coming here today. So we can start actually soliciting for funds, writing these smaller grants.
Okay.
So we can see exactly where we're
at. Where we're at, mm-hmm. And then go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be. Yeah. Okay.
Tom?
Well, what we're being asked is to not actually pay for it today. We're being asked to develop a financial concept. And I'm 1,000% for, that's what the city does. We talked about this earlier. We provide assets, and the pavilion is used right now in its poor state every weekend. And if we could modernize it and winterize it, it would be, again, just double the lifespan and create an asset for our public. And it's just an awesome project. It's needed. And if we can somehow find a way, I mean, we're doing budget in the next couple months. Okay, some's coming from Parks and Rec budget, some's coming from Main Street. I mean, you've done a fantastic job of itemizing lots of different ways to fund this, and the motion is just to keep exploring that. And I'm willing to support. Yes. I'm in support.
Thank you. Well, Barb, I'd like to thank you for your hard work.
Oh, you're welcome. It wasn't just me. Mm-hmm.
But you're the head cheerleader of it, and we just thank you wholeheartedly. And this is a one-sheet business plan that's real simple for people to understand how and why and the way this can work, you know, as far as the financing. And as Tom said, what we're asked to do today is to, you know, keep this project moving, refine and develop it. So I'm in total support that we keep the project moving, the funding moving. This business plan is a great tool, and let's go for it.
Listen, I forgot my closing. I remember my closing statement. It was, again, another example, if we can get something built in Boyne City on 20 or 30 cents on the dollar, just an example of why Boyne City has been so successful with our monies.
That's it. Okay, call for a motion.
I'll make the motion for consideration to authorize staff to, number one, continue to refine and develop plans for the pavilion to keep the project moving forward, to support budgeted funds in upcoming 2015/16 budget that would be used to match potential grants. Three, start applying for grants and soliciting contribution with a goal to hire a consultant and start construction as soon as it's financially feasible.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
No.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, next item of business is good of the order. Laura, would you like to start?
I think I'm good. They'll say welcome to our new wastewater water treatment plant supervisor.
Derek.
Thank you. I didn't have anything else, but also, again, congratulations and welcome, Mark, to the Boyne City team. We're winners here, don't forget that.
Jane? I have nothing.
Also. Mike, anything?
No, thank you. Thanks for asking. Okay.
Okay. Announcements. We just have one today. The next regular City Commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, February 24, 2015 at noon. And I'll call for adjournment. I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
1 second.
Roll call.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.